Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. When I was a child, it was my regular after-school routine to take the bus home and then walk about, I don't know, say 0.4 of a mile. And then after I got done with my homework, I was allowed to go outside and play in the streets with my neighbors until the streetlights went on. And this was very important. There's a lot of great memories that I have of going into their yard and getting these rocks that were real chalky, and we would write in the middle of the street and make a baseball diamond and play with as many invisible people as we needed to get a team going. And sometimes we would ride our bikes around the neighborhood, and when we got tired of riding our bikes, we would turn them upside down and use our bicycle pedals to crank them and pretend we were making ice cream, which we could never get. And so do I have to say this now, or can I have no financial relationships with to disclose, but today, I think we all understand that for one reason or another, children do not have opportunities to play and get physical activity around where they live, near their schools, at their homes, for a number of different kinds of reasons. And it turns out that the reason that kids aren't getting enough physical activity or aren't having enough opportunities for physical activity is not just because they or their parents don't know how important it is, but because there are actual structural barriers, social and physical barriers in their community and in their schools that make it very difficult for people to access safe places for physical activity. And while, of course, there are many children who have great access to parks and playground, the data is really bearing out that there are many, many communities, far too many communities, and far too many children who don't have ample access, nearby access, to places to play and get physical activity. And in fact, this is making us sick. It's making the children sick far too often, far too early, far too frequently. And in June 2009, this led the American Academy of Pediatrics to release a landmark policy statement stating that they needed to use the power of their white coat to do more than just counsel people on diabetes, but also to get out there and talk about policy change, environmental change, better land use to support physical activity. Because what they said was that they are finding too many environments that were downright hostile to physical activity. And what that means is that there are many priorities that we need to advance to improve opportunities for physical activity for all children. Because children have a right to places to play safely. And I think that we can dial in to a future where our children, our grandchildren, and their children have safe places to play, safe places to get physical activity, if we can advance a number of priorities to promote physical activity and create safe places to play. And a lot of times I think people might look at this list, and particularly us public health folks, we want to know where the really good data is. We only have limited resource, and people kind of say, well, which one should we do? Which one is really going to make a difference? And one of the things I want to emphasize here is that it's all of these things and many more that we must do simultaneously, because our streets, our schools, our communities, our neighborhoods, our homes must all provide children with safe places to play day, night, after school hours. But today we're really just going to focus on joint use and the work that a number of us are doing together to advance shared use of public facilities. In a moment, you'll hear from Dr. Ogilvy, and he'll define for you more specifically what joint use is and how it works. But at its simplest level, it's about sharing facilities. Could be between two government entities to promote extended hours use of physical activity spaces like parks, like playgrounds, like, you know, school grounds, swimming pools, and so on. What we've done here in California is, well, not here in California, in California, and what we want to share with you here in Denver is what we've done. We actually, several years ago, identified working together that a number of people working in different communities were working to support physical activity. Some were working on increasing access to parks. Some folks were working on increasing physical education program. Some folks were working on land use issues to make sure that the streets provided for walking and biking. But after a series of conversation, we started to understand that there was beginning to be a lot of energy bubbling up around this notion of opening up school grounds to community residents after hours and on weekends. And people were doing this, one, as an independent strategy, and secondly, as a parallel strategy. In California, the price of land is really high, and people felt like, we want to do the work to acquire lands so there can be parks, more places to play, but we need to do it in parallel with something that's a little bit more immediate. We want to begin working now with the assets we have in our communities to improve opportunities for people to play. And so we started coming together, a group of us, and we established a joint use statewide task force, which I'll share a little bit more about. Simultaneously, and sort of out of those initial conversations, we recognized that we needed to have a virtual hub, which was led to the development of a website. And Heather Gellert will be our last speaker talking about the jointuse.org website that we developed. We also hooked up with Robert Ogilvy through this work, and he'll be our second speaker. And he was already in the process of developing a toolkit, and we really tried to figure out how those efforts could dovetail. Because if we were going to go around working together in communities to advance joint use, we knew that it would be very valuable for people to have tools, case studies, promising approaches, and so we wanted to connect up with the work that Dr. Ogilvy was doing. The other thing that we initially did as one of the first efforts of the task force was we decided that we needed a snapshot, some data from across the state to inform us what was really going on in communities. Why was it that children were not having access to safe places to play after school hours and on weekends? And building off some work that Genoveva Islas Hooker had already started in the Central Valley in California, we decided to replicate a photo voice project and do that in a number of sites, and she will be describing that to you. Will be our third speaker. And then the thing that we added on about a year and a half into the work of the task force was a statewide project through an effort that was already in process called California Convergence to work effectively and intensively with four communities that were already working on this issue of joint use. Just to give you a snapshot, this is the membership of the Joint Use Statewide Task Force. You might not be able to tell from the organizational names, but I can share with you this is a mix of planners, lawyers, public health professionals, people representing education and administrators, and people working deeply in communities. And this has been very important to sort of and having an enriched dialogue where we can really understand the perspectives, the culture. And I will say joint use is not a new idea. It's not even particularly cutting edge or innovative. It's an excellent solution, though, to some of the issues. And so that's one of the things, the pragmatism, the concrete nature of it, and the fact that we know that virtually any barrier that schools and communities face in terms of putting up joint use agreements can be overcome. Because joint use agreements are in place in so many places. We know that it can be done. We know what it takes. And that's a lot about what you'll be able to see in the toolkit. Thank you. Oops, I'm going in the wrong direction. So a couple things with the task force, what we found was very important and very valuable is by bringing together the expertise of a number of people that were very committed and already working on joint use, that we needed to identify a set of activities that sort of was broader or deeper than any one of our organizations could do in isolation. So what we've done in the last, I would say, year and a half is we've worked to inform the governor's policy agenda so that when he had this past February a summit on physical activity and nutrition, we were putting in front of him specific asks around joint use that he ultimately put into his statewide platform. And then this past year, he sponsored legislation with an assembly member for joint use. That legislation this session did not pass. It couldn't get out of education committee, but we're hoping that we can come back again with this. We have a new superintendent and some fresh energy that we hope will help us mobilize around this. We've also, through a project in California, we had some funding for parks, and through that, they were going to give out state-level grant funding for joint-use projects and called urban greening. And through that, we put in place joint use as an example. One of the criteria that they were looking at were expanding the use of existing facilities. And so when people were applying for that grant, we were able to embed that in the grant guidelines. There's also an interdisciplinary, intersectoral task force that was recently formed, and we've gotten joint use to be a priority area. And actually, they're having a hearing today in California, and joint use is one of the core areas in which they are including recommendations for their statewide strategic plan. And then many of you are probably familiar with a CDC program called Communities Putting Prevention to Work. This came out of Recovery Act dollars and went through the CDC to communities. And in California, a number of communities have focused and made a decision to focus on joint use because they recognize a lot of this momentum that was already happening in communities and through some of the work that the task force is doing. So our statewide CPPW effort has pulled joint use as a major strand of their work. And then we're continuing to support the development of different tools and research to advance and support joint use. The Communities in Action piece that I mentioned to you, Veva will also talk to you about that because she is sort of overseeing one of the main pieces in Early Mart in Central Valley. But it's really about working intensively with four communities to advance their joint use efforts, really practical kind of challenges that they're facing, working to overcome those, learning for each other. And the big emphasis here has been on peer learning. And in the room, we have Lisa Hershey, who's really sort of the hub for California Convergence work, and she, I'm sure, would be happy to talk to you a little bit more about what they're doing. But it's been a really exciting opportunity for us to bridge local work and statewide efforts together, because what we've learned over time in California is that statewide policy is never as good and never as valuable unless it is supported by what the people working locally learn and experience. What we're trying to do with this, as I mentioned, we're trying to build on the work of community hotspots. That's what we call our four communities. We want to bring sort of support and technical assistance locally, and then use the support, the expertise that the folks working locally are doing to export their knowledge to other folks working locally to build their own readiness in different communities. And we're really trying to weave a bunch of local efforts together and demonstrate a broader statewide momentum. In the coming year, what we really want to do, as I mentioned, is we want to reintroduce some statewide legislation around joint use to support and facilitate joint use happening at locales across the state. We also want to support implementation in a number of different sites that are working on this, and we want to kind of take joint use and, as I said earlier, weave it back together with a number of other important physical activity priorities that are going on and really move forward a broad platform for physical activity opportunities. So looking at the streets, the parks, the playgrounds, and really saying all of this needs to come together to really support a broad-based approach to improving physical activity. And we want to add on more communities in action. So that's what our hope is for the coming year. What I think is really critical about this work is that this is not just about joint use as a singular strategy, but this is about joint use as a good solution that can solve multiple problems and bringing together a number of different concerns. We have so many pressures around environmental issues, around health and health care, on the health care system, and we have a lot of issues around inequities and access to facilities. And joint use is one exemplar, I think, of how we can get the norm change and find common ground between those that care about health and diabetes, those that care about the economy and inequities, and those that care about, you know, a greener society, and pull those together and find those good solutions and that common ground to advance something that's meaningful in communities. And I think we can all get with our First Lady when she says this is not the kind of problem that can be solved overnight, but with everyone working together, it can be solved. So let's move. And this is our fundamental responsibility for our children and families to have safe places to play. I want to just close by saying that I am so honored to be on this panel with Dr. Ogilvy and Veva and Heather. They are such creative and thoughtful people. And if I could say one thing about working in collaboration and task forces, if you have to meet with people over and over over a series of years, it makes all the difference to have them be enjoyable, thoughtful, and committed folks. And that has been one of the best things that I think has propelled our task force work forward.